Blog Talk Radio.
There's the snap, hand to Riggins. Good hole. He's got the first down, the 40. He's gone. The 35, the 30, the 20. He's gone. He's gone. Touchdown, Washington Redskins. Woo-hoo.
Kick up. Kick his ball away.
It's good. It's good. It's good. Adam Vinatieri goes to 40. 8-yard field goal. And the game is over. And the Patriots.
Gets the snap. He's back. He pumps. Scrambles around. Throws it back corner of the end zone. Santonio with a touchdown. Santonio holds. I don't know how he did it. Dominique Rodgers Cromartie doesn't know how he did it. But they rule touchdown in the far right corner of the end zone.
In motion. Comes right. Back to throw Montana. Steps up. Throws. Touchdown.
Is Red Zone Blitz. Fred House, Mike coming to you here from the Fred House Sports Radio Studio. October 17th and NFL Week 6 now in the books. And I got to tell you, we got to stop referring to them now as Upset Sundays. Because look, when upsets become the norm, well, then you got to change the name, right? Because that's what it seems like. It seems like every week for at least the past three, maybe four now, it seems like every week is Upset Sunday. And so upsets now become the general way of looking at everything, right? That's what we got to do. Nine more favorites this past weekend. Nine out of 14 games that were played went down. Absolutely incredible. I don't know what to make of it. I really don't. And when you look around the landscape of the NFL league, the standings are almost a bit bizarre. And we're going to take a look at, we'll take a look at all of the divisions. We'll take a look at all the standings one way or another over the course of the next 90 minutes through our conversations. In talking about a couple of the big games, we got to go all the way back, though, to last Thursday night. We got to start off week six because we can't leave the Philadelphia Eagles out of the conversation because that's what everybody, it seems like, is talking about the Philadelphia Eagles. They now have the second. They're one of two teams with the best record in the entire NFL. And I keep hearing the word Super Bowl being brought up. And I just want to say, slow the roll. That's what I want to do. I don't know. But it's absolutely incredible. You got the Philadelphia Eagles sitting atop the NFC East and atop the NFC, for that matter. We'll take a look at last Thursday night's game between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Carolina Panthers. And one of the reasons that so many people right now are talking about the Philadelphia Eagles is because with the loss of Aaron Rodgers to the Green Bay Packers, that's not just a team changer. That's not just a division changer. That's an entire league changer. Because so many people were talking about the Green Bay Packers as the NFC representatives in the Super Bowl. And now you got to wonder whether, in fact, they can even make the playoffs, albeit I have read quite a few articles just today I don't know whether it's, you know, fans, Green Bay Packer fans, who are just writing hopeful wishes, but a lot of different articles out there about how, in fact, the Green Bay Packers can, in fact, not only make the playoffs, but go deep into the playoffs. Take a look at that game between the Green Bay Packers and the Minnesota Vikings. The Minnesota Vikings are not a team to be taken for granted either. I mean, they sit atop that division right now with a 4-2 record, and somehow or another have been able to hold it together with Case Keenum. Who'd have thunk this one? The New Orleans Saints went in and put a beat down on the Detroit Lions, and it was really, really odd because it was just a few short weeks ago. And I got to be honest, there were two teams that for the first 6 weeks of this season, two teams have come up every single week in our Thursday night pick'ems, and that's been the Kansas City Chiefs and the Detroit Lions. And you got to think perhaps maybe it's time for a little change with the Detroit Lions, because bam, just like that, that team is now 3-3. Yeah, that was a team that, I'm going to be honest with you, wasn't that long ago, I'm looking at and saying, hey, they're a really good team, 3-3. The numbers don't lie. It was just a week ago, we had Ben Roethlisberger, I don't know, I guess blowing off some steam to reporters after the game that, well, maybe he just doesn't have it anymore. And then there was kind of rumblings and chit-chat and talk and rumors about the team unraveling. The Pittsburgh Steelers last week beat the Kansas City Chiefs to give the Chiefs their first loss of the season, take them to 5-1. But amazingly, what one win can do, because suddenly now everybody's talking Super Bowl with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Goes to show you just how wide open this entire league is. And then, last but not least, you got to go to the Denver Broncos, who, was that the New York Giants they were playing the other night? 23-10, the New York Giants beat the Denver Broncos, and they beat them. I mean, they really beat them. So you got to sit back and wonder whether, in fact, that Giants win was, well, what, just a bad night for the Denver Broncos? Because a lot of people now are starting to question whether the Broncos are as good as everybody kind of thought they were. And amazingly now, that AFC West division doesn't quite look as, I don't know, strong as it was, right? Anyhow, we will get into all of that and anything else that might be on your mind if you want to chime in with us about a game that perhaps maybe I didn't even bring up here. That's fine. If you want to weigh in with some comments or observations about your team, we're certainly willing to listen to that as well. 347-826-9964. That's how you can get a hold of us here at Frat House Sports. 347-826-9964. Otherwise, you can leave us a message in our Blog Talk Radio chat room, or you can hit me up on Twitter at Frat House Mike. I'd be more than happy to converse with you over Twitter, or I can bring your comments to the air at Frat House Mike. Joining me as always, Brandon.
Yes, sir.
A crazy couple of weeks. I upsets seem to be the norm.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's upsets anymore. I mean, you and I were commenting on some of the crazy lines, like the New Orleans Saints being favored in that game that we all thought they were going to, you know, the Lions should win. And yet they were favored by like 5 points. And then, of course, they come out and, you know, do what they did and beat them. So I don't know. Maybe the league's starting to just show its strength now for the year. I mean, the Giants beating the Broncos, that was kind of fluky, but you never know. I mean, some of these teams may have just taken a few weeks to get going. I still don't, you know, it doesn't mean I think the Giants are good, and I'm not sold on the Saints by far. I think the Saints are an aging team that needs to rebuild, but they can put together, you know, some offense for sure. So,
well, particularly when you've got, you know, I was pointing out the other night, the other afternoon, that their new running back, who obviously they didn't need Adrian Peterson any longer, when you've got Kamara. Kamara is up there with Kareem Hunt, and with what's his name over at Leonard Fournette over with Jacksonville. When you start talking about rookies and rookie running backs, those three really are quite something to watch. Honest to God, it's going to be a tough selection, I think, for rookie of the year this year, particularly if some of these guys continue, you know, stay healthy, don't get injured, and continue on the pace that they currently are. Specifically in the NFC, though, where, you know, the conversations have been the NFC, probably more so than the AFC, absolutely wide open, broken open, particularly by the loss of Aaron Rodgers. The Eagles lead in the East. In the NFC North, you've got the Minnesota Vikings. In the NFC South, you've got Carolina Panthers, who now seem to have righted the ship a little bit after a slow start. They're now 4-2 and seemingly starting to put some points on the board. And you've got the Los Angeles Rams over in the NFC West. When I saw there was a graphic that I saw out on social media, it was either yesterday or today, just highlighting, showing those four all together as the division leaders. It was just such a weird picture to see those four teams all together and to consider that that's what's leading right now in the NFC East. Maybe not so much the Carolina Panthers, but when you throw the Rams in there and you throw the Minnesota Vikings and then, of course, the Philadelphia Eagles, that is a wide-open conference.
No, you're right. We did this game in our pick'em, and I was the only one on our show who picked the Eagles, and I had said even before last week that I thought the Eagles were for real, and I thought that this week was going to be the, you know, a proof kind of game because you had commented, well, they haven't beaten anybody. Well, now they did, you know, and even before Rodgers got hurt, you know, I was on the Eagles bandwagon. I think that just opened the door now for the Eagles certainly to have a chance at being the number one seed, you know. I don't know if that's going to equate to a Super Bowl appearance or not. I like the quarterback. I'm sold on Carson Wentz. That I can say. I'm not sold on that coach yet. I'm not sure about his decisions, and sometimes he looks like he's clueless on the sideline. But so far, the team is made up for all that. So, you know, we'll have to see how it plays out. But I think, you know, almost anybody right now who doesn't consider the Philadelphia Eagles to be the favorite in the NFC, especially with the circumstances, you know, around last weekend's, you know, the end of last weekend's games, you'd have to be a little crazy. You know, I mean, with the Packers losing Rodgers, yeah, they're still going to be a good team, but they're not going to win as many games. You know, the Vikings and Lions are just so-so. The Eagles beat the Panthers, so they already have them in a tiebreaker. Are the Rams for real? Probably not. Not that real. They may win the division. I don't know. The Cardinals look kind of rejuvenated with Adrian Peterson on their team. So we'll have to see how that division plays out. But I think right now everything looks Eagles, you know, as far as the NFC. I don't see many chinks in the armor. I mean, the NFC East, there are other teams. I mean, there's times the Redskins look good. You know, Dallas is, you know, they've kind of been in somewhat of a slump to start the year. And now you know, they got the uncertainty around Elliott. You know, I didn't hear if the circuit court heard anything on his case yet. So as far as I know, he's suspended this week. I haven't seen anything to the contrary. So I know the NFLPA is trying to get the case heard and trying to get a clarification on whether he's, you know, suspended yet or not, but you know, it's still up in the air.
Do you think with somebody taking a look at Dallas for a moment, do you think that perhaps it might almost be better for the team if, in fact, that suspension did commence like right now and get it over with? Because you got to wonder whether, in fact, it's creating more of a distraction than it needs to be. So, in other words, let the Dallas Cowboys go for six games without Elliott. Let them work in, you know, whatever backups they've got that they can work in there. Alfred Morris and I don't know, do they still have what's his name from
McFadden,
who used to play for the Raiders. Let them work in who they have. Let them concentrate on six games without Elliott and then get it over with, rather than having this thing keep getting drug out. And you got to wonder whether, in fact, that's actually playing on the team poorly.
I've always been a fan of Alfred Morris. I don't see, you know, why they, you know, that wouldn't be their option. But, you know, looking at this record, they're 2-3 now. And if they got to go six games without Elliott, you know, how do they come out of that? I mean, even if they come out of that 3-3, you know, then they're at 5-6 with Elliott back. Are they going to make the playoffs at that point? You know what I mean? They got to find a way to win games without him. You know what I mean? And that was just if they go 500, but they're already a game under 500 right now.
Yeah,
with him. So, you know, I just don't see how they – I don't know if they can weather the storm, I'll be honest with you. I think the Redskins are a solid team. You know, and the Cowboys have to play them at least one more time, maybe twice. I don't know if they played yet. They're going to have to play the Eagles twice because we haven't had an Eagles-Cowboys game yet.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. I don't see that it's looking real good for Dallas. They started off the season in a hole. And you got the Eagles sitting up there at 5-1. Dallas has already had their bye, and they're only 2-3. That's not a good place to be, in my book.
Real quick, over at the AFC, maybe not quite as you know, when you on first blush, anyhow, when you look at the standings, maybe not quite as dramatically mixed up as the NFC. But still with its share of question marks, for sure. The New England Patriots are at the top of the AFC East with a 4-2 record. The Pittsburgh Steelers 4-2 and leading the AFC North, AFC South. Tennessee Titans 3-3. And in the West, the Kansas City Chiefs at 5-1. So one could look at this and say, okay, yeah, well, that's kind of perhaps maybe the way everybody thought the AFC would look. That's not much different than, say, maybe a year ago. And yet, Brandon, we've got big questions, big question marks with the New England Patriots, big question marks with the Pittsburgh Steelers, major question marks with the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, the North may end up being a battle of, you know, who happens to, you know, win enough games, you know what I mean? The Patriots, I don't know what to think yet. Their defense is still pretty bad. It's gotten a little better over the last couple of weeks. You know, they're still winning games barely. So, you know, if they can figure out a way to, you know, plug the gaps in the defense a little bit, I think they could be okay. They still look good on the defensive side of the ball. Rob Gronkowski still looks like Gronk. You know, Amendola's kind of stepping up a little bit in Edelman's absence. Cooks is fitting in real nice. Mm-hmm. And Hogan's, you know, continuing to play well. So even the running backs, I mean, Deion Lewis, James White, you know, they're all kind of kicking in a little. So I think I gotta feel positive about what I've seen the last couple of weeks, even though their defense still ain't great. But I think they can hang with anybody offensively. So I think, you know, I think the Patriots are going to figure out a way to still win the East.
I think it was a week ago that you made the comment that you kind of felt that the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, might be, as you know, to bring the phrase back again, and I think I actually read it in the media, but I think you kind of echoed it, unraveling a bit. What's your thinking on the Pittsburgh Steelers at this point?
Is this
going to be a situation where they're going to win this by just filling a vacuum?
Maybe, but I they don't scare me. I mean, I'm surprised the Chiefs had as much trouble as they did considering that game was in Kansas City. I thought Kansas City was good, you know, going into that. I thought they were going to win the game fairly easily, and they didn't. Maybe it was a bit of a letdown for them. Maybe they were starting to, you know, feel pretty good about themselves, and that was the end result. I don't know, but It doesn't change my mind on Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh's still a team that's falling apart. I think they have some good players. I mean, Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell are two of the best in the league, but you know, even Roethlisberger in that game, he didn't look all that good. He did enough to win. You know what I mean? He didn't look like sensational or anything. So, you know, I'm still holding out, you know, reserve on that. Unfortunately, or fortunately for Pittsburgh, I guess you could say, if you're a Pittsburgh fan, is I don't see anybody in that division really stepping up, you know, to challenge them, because I thought Baltimore yeah. had a chance and they kind of just fell flat. I don't know what to expect. You know, Cleveland is done, you know, and Cincinnati is, they're too up and down. They're not, they're never consistent, but you never know.
I don't get it with the Cincinnati Bengals. I really don't get it.
Well, I believe they were on a bye last week, so maybe they'll come back from the bye, you know, with a little better. I mean, they're not in as bad a shape at 2-3 as the Cowboys are, because Pittsburgh's only at 4-2. They're only, you know, they're only like really one game out in the loss column, where, you know, Dallas is two behind the Eagles already. So, you know, it's a little different 3-2 when the top team has a, you know, a little better record or not.
I was reading an op-ed today from one of the Baltimore medias where it was being, I mean, it's actively being discussed that, I mean, there's a possibility Harbaugh could be gone before the season concludes if things continue the way they are.
That would be a mistake.
I mean, my eyebrows kind of raised a little bit, but at the same time, there does seem to be something systemically wrong with the Ravens. You know, it was pointed out the fact that this team just isn't offensively, they're just not there. And I don't understand what the problem is necessarily, but
I don't think they have a solid running game for one. I think right. Flacco's a little up and down. They might be able to right the ship again. That, like I said, this division's kind of in a little state of flux, kind of like the NFC North. I mean, you got the Vikings, Lions and Packers all, you know, got their own issues they're all dealing with right now. I mean, the Lions, you know, they're losing games they should be winning. You know, the Packers just lost probably the best or second best quarterback in the league, you know, probably for the rest of this year. Maybe he'll be back for the playoffs if they can make it without him. You know, the Vikings, they've had a, you know, we started with Bradford got hurt, you know, he came back and he's probably came back too soon. Now we're hearing Bridgewater may be ready in a few weeks. It's just, you know, they got their own issues they're dealing with. So that, you know, I think both the North divisions on both sides are kind of up in the air a little bit. So we'll just have to see how they play out and which team can, you know, solve their issues the quickest, essentially, in both mm-hmm. sides, really, AFC and NFC. I mean, obviously, Pittsburgh has a little leg up based on the fact that they're, you know, 4-2 in that division. But you never know. You know, that can go away in two games, as we've seen with the Detroit Lions, you know.
How quickly that went.
Yep.
So, like I said, the AFC, while, you know, snapshot-wise, it kind of looks the way perhaps everybody thought it might look, still an awful lot of question marks. Let's go over, though, and take a look at the Philadelphia Eagles, who beat up the Carolina Panthers last Thursday night. I wouldn't necessarily say beat up, but they beat them. Let's put it that way, and they weren't expected to. 28-23, the Philadelphia Eagles did it. Carson Wentz, Brandon, 16 of 30. Completion rate, not very good, but 3 TDs. Again, no interceptions, and ends up the evening with 110.7 quarterback rating. Passed for 222 yards. The coaching staff has continued to go. I guess after that Kansas City game, they took a lot of heat for not running the ball. LeGarrette Blount had another pretty good night, 67 yards on the ground. Alshon Jeffrey has not been, I think, what everybody in Philadelphia kind of thought he was going to be yet. Let's put it that way. Nelson Aguilar, however, I think he had his fourth, might have been his fifth touchdown of the season already. And this was a guy, myself included, all calling to be, you know, a from this team in the offseason. Zach Ertz having a tremendous season so far. With the Carolina Panthers, Cam Newton put the ball in the air 52 times, only completed 28 of them, had a touchdown and three interceptions, 48.5 passer rating. I don't understand why they're not running the ball. They've got Jonathan Stewart. They got Christian McCaffrey. Why this team is not running the ball, I don't get it. Christian McCaffrey, 8 yards rushing, that was it. They seem to like to use him more in the passing play. And it, to me, that's not where he's needed. He's needed in the backfield. That's where he's needed. You've got Kelvin Benjamin. You got Devin Funchess. You got Ed Dixon. You don't need Christian McCaffrey catching balls down the side or even in the slot. You need Christian McCaffrey running the ball. Jonathan Stewart, minus 4 yards rushing the other night. It seems to me they've got their – offensively, I don't like the game plan I've been seeing coming from the Carolina Panthers. But that can't take anything away from the fact that the Carolina Panthers, again this season, I believe have one of the top five defenses in the entire league. But, boy, the Eagles, three interceptions on Cam Newton. I think in some respects, too, if you remember some of those interceptions, you got to give it to the defense for the interceptions. In other words, they really – a lot of them really weren't, the way I recall it, really weren't badly thrown balls.
No, I agree. I think the Eagles, honestly, watching the game, and I watched, you know, the whole game, which I very rarely can do on a Thursday because, you know, got to work the next day, it gets late. But that game was just too good to turn away from. And, you know, I never had a feeling in that game that the Eagles were going to lose. They felt in control. You know, they kept, you know, the score was always pretty even as it went. I think, you know, they played what they, and they did it in Carolina. You know, they did what they had to do in Carolina. And it was, I think it's a really big win, you know, for the Eagles. And, you know, it's probably something I hope the team can build on and carry to, you know, a few more wins. I have to admit, I'm really impressed with Carson Wentz. I don't care that he even had a lot of incomplete passes. He's not throwing interceptions. And that's what you want to see out of a young quarterback, is good decisions. When he doesn't have what he's looking for, you know, the ability to throw it away and not throw an interception, that's almost as impressive as, you know, having a higher, you know, completion percentage. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, don't make any stupid mistakes. Don't cost the team, you know, a turnover. You know, play within yourself, which is kind of what they do. I'd like to see them run the ball more consistently. I think that's a part of, you know, making the Eagles be good. And I think slowly but surely it's getting through, you know, the thick skull of this new head coach. But, you know, I'd like to see, you know, LeGarrette Blount get 20 to 25 carries every game, no matter what. You know what I mean? I think he's the kind of guy that the more you feed him, the better he gets towards the end of the game. And he just beats the other team down. And I think that's one thing that, you know, they're starting to see and starting to realize, and hopefully they'll keep putting that together. And, you know, you'll see a, you know, more consistent mix of rushing and passing. And mm-hmm. the Eagles receivers, as you said, Nelson Aguilar, you know, big surprise. I don't think Torrey Smith and Alshon Jeffrey are necessarily as big of a factor as some thought they may be, but they're contributing. You know, they're new. It's a new system for both of them. So, you know, they'll only get better as the season goes on and they get more comfortable, you know. So that's nothing but, you know, a positive for the Eagles. And Zach Ertz, you know, all he does is catch touchdowns, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah, that's kind of where he was at one point in that game. So, you know, I don't see many negatives coming, you know, on the Philadelphia Eagles right now. Everything's working pretty good. I mean, yeah, it looked pretty bad when they lost Darren Sproles, but I think they're actually running the ball better now that he's not there as an option out of the backfield. It almost like they're, you know, him, LeGarrette Blount and Barner, they're not really as pass catch oriented as Sproles was. So it's more or less kind of forcing the hand to make him run the ball more in it. As sad as it says, it might be a good thing to the Eagles that they lost Sproles. And I hate to say that because you never want to see, you know, a guy who's had a great career get hurt as bad as he did in one game. I mean, didn't he go out of there? He had a broken arm and a knee injury all in the same game, same play.
Yep.
And he had like a brutal, you know, like I said, a broken arm. And I think he had an ACL all in the same play. That's brutal, especially at his age and, you know, as much, you know, many years he's had in the NFL. I mean, it could be more than likely a career ender, I would imagine. But, you know, the Eagles have not let it hurt them. If anything, it almost makes their offense more look better on balance. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Just a couple of stats on Carson Wentz. He has, as of this past week, he has worked his way up to the number 5 quarterback in the entire league in total yardage, 1,584 yards, averaging 264 yards a game, 13 touchdowns, only 3 interceptions. That through 6 games. Through 6 games as well, he's got a passer rating of 99.6. And just announced today as well, currently the number 1 selling jersey in the entire country is Carson Wentz.
Wow.
So, nice. Yeah. How about that? What do you make
of that? Like that. I like them numbers, 13 to 3. You know, touchdown interception ratio, that's like perfect, really. I mean, you're it's almost impossible not to throw an interception or two in the NFL. I mean, you see deflected balls that end up being, you know, caught by the other team. That's not really a quarterback's fault. So you're going to get some. You can't be perfect, but, you know, 13 to 3, that's a pretty good. I like that ratio. That's a pretty solid number, in my opinion.
What do you make of, and not obviously that you would have an answer for it because you'd have to be on the inside of the locker room to know, but I mean, what do you make of this penchant on the part of the Panthers to just constantly throw the ball when you've got yourself 2 good running backs, 3 if you want to include Fozzie Whitaker?
Well, I wouldn't call them good running backs. I think the problem they have is I think Jonathan Stewart is probably done. He's probably stayed in the league one too many. The new guy, McCaffrey, looks a little smallish, and it doesn't look like they like running him between the tackles. And Fozzie Whitaker may be okay, but I believe he actually went out of that game injured, so I don't know what his status is. So, you know, I understand why they don't run the ball. I mean, Jonathan Stewart looks slow and totally ineffective. The other guy, McCaffrey, just doesn't look like he's built to run between the tackles in NFL. He looks very small, and I think that's going to hurt him stature. You know, that stature, he doesn't have the size it needs to do, you know, running that way. That's why I think they use him the way they do. I think they're kind of in a bind at that position right now, honestly. But, you know, I really don't. Jonathan Stewart just looked totally ineffective. Unless the Eagles just keyed on him every time he was in there, knowing that if he's in the game, they're going to run the ball. Maybe that's the case. I mean, we've seen that from other times with other teams and the way they handle their running backs, that, you know, if a certain guy's on the field, they're not going to throw to him. But, yeah, he just didn't look good. And he hasn't looked good in any game I've seen of the Panthers this year. So, you know, he may have, his best days may be behind him.
Well, interesting. If we look ahead real quick, just peering at the Eagles' schedule, it certainly would look like it favors them, at least for the foreseeable future. They're 5-1 at this point right now. They don't play again until next Monday night. So they played Thursday, and then they get that extra day of – you know, they don't even have to play on Sunday. They get to play, wait until Monday night. And when they do, their next 3 games are at home against the Redskins, the 49ers, and the Broncos. And then they go on bye. So I almost hate to say it, but
it
is possible that this team going into a bye week could be 8-1.
At the very least, 7-2. That's still pretty impressive if they manage to win two of those three games. Either way, you know, they're looking solid. I mean, didn't they already beat – they played the Redskins once already or no?
Yes, at the beginning of the season, they beat them
and they
30-17.
Right.
30-17.
Right.
They did that
so that
in
game,
Washington.
That game, yeah, this is a makeup. You know, the revenge factor is in this one. The Broncos didn't look good at all this past week. So who knows, honestly. You know, we'll have to just see how things play. But
well,
it's looking good if you're an Eagles fan.
Excuse me. Yes. Yes, it does. Yeah, I just hate to get ahead of myself. Anyhow, all right, there you go with the Philadelphia Eagles and the Carolina Panthers. The Green Bay Packers, Minnesota Vikings. Packers lost on Sunday to the Vikings 23-10. And we talked about this one already. Aaron Rodgers out for the remainder of the season. He went 2-4, and then Brett Hundley came in and went 18-33 for 157 yards, a touchdown from Brett Hundley, and three interceptions. Meanwhile, Case Keenum, 24-38, 239 yards, a touchdown, and one interception, and a 78.7 passer rating. We talked a little bit about this, I guess, even after the game, Brandon. Can you picture the Green Bay Packers going with Brett Hundley for the remainder of the season?
Well, if you listen, if you're going to take McCarthy at his word, that's what they're going to do. You know, he says he's the guy. He says he's equipped. He's got the tools. He's got, you know, familiarity in the system. So if you take him at face value, that's pretty much what it appears to be anyway. I mean, I don't have any reason to doubt him. You know, I mean, McCarthy never struck me as a type who plays too many games. I mean, maybe if Huntley goes out and stinks it up for a couple weeks, maybe then they'll start thinking about, you know, bringing in somebody to look at. But, you know, he's not going to bring in Kaepernick. That much we know. You know, McCarthy's one of the guys who believes wholeheartedly in standing for the anthem, and he damn near got into a shouting match with a reporter who asked about the possibility of bringing Kaepernick in. So that's where he said in no uncertain terms that Hundley's the quarterback and that's the way it's going to be.
Yeah,
so,
boy,
yeah.
I missed that. I missed that.
It's out there. Go look. You know, apparently he – you know, it got made a little bit of a, you know, got abrupt with a reporter over it, but whatever, you know, because the reporter specifically was grilling him about bringing in Kaepernick, and, you know, I think that kind of raised his ire a little, but anyway.
Well, let's see, Brett Hundley has been with the Green Bay Packers. This is his second year.
It's his third season, because I think they said he has... They have 3 years invested in him, is I believe what the comment he made.
I'm actually trying to see where that he was drafted in the 2015 draft.
This is the third season then, right?
Fifth round. He was drafted by the Green Bay Packers in the fifth round of the 2015 draft. So 15, 16, 17.
This would be the start of his third year. Yeah.
Didn't see any playing time at all in 2015. Got into four games last year in 2016 for a very, very minimal amount.
Probably
and then
mop
of course,
up duty.
And then we see what we've seen so far this season, the bulk of it. What's your gut feeling on it though?
I'll have a better feeling after I see how he does preparing as a starter for a week. Some guys can come in off the bench and light it up, and other guys if they don't have the practice time, seem to struggle. You know, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that he came in unprepared, had to play most of the game. Let's see how he does, you know, having a week, you know, taking starter reps and preparing as a starter. If he plays a little better, then, you know, maybe they can get by. I mean, he didn't look totally horrible, but he did kind of look a little lost at times.
The three interceptions, he didn't look good on.
I think one of them was a deflection, you're right. But, yeah, he didn't look good on those. He did manage to drive the team for a touchdown, though, which, you know, you got to take a little solace in that if you're a Packers fan.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, I mean, obviously you're right. We don't have enough of a.
Yeah, I'll give him. Give me. Let me see the next two games and see how he looks, and especially this next game. That's going to be a big test because he's got all this week and taking all the starter reps and see how he does. I mean, it's hard to kill the guy coming in, you know, unexpectedly fairly early in the game. I mean, I don't think it was. It might have been the first series event that Rodgers got hurt on. Like you said, he only was, what, 2 out of 4? He only had 4 mm-hmm. pass attempts. So, you know, very likely it was the first series of the game. So.
Yeah, not enough body of work here for really anybody to make a judgment, I suppose. The eyeball test from the other day was not spectacular. But
we don't know how he is in practice and stuff. Let's give him a break and see how it goes. And you know, we've seen other young quarterbacks of late, you know, seemingly succeed pretty well. Maybe he'll be another one. I mean, I think we've seen more promising young quarterbacks in the last 2 to 3 seasons than we have in a long time. You know, we saw the Winston and Mariota year. Last year we saw Prescott and Carson Wentz and a little bit of Goff. This year we're seeing more out of Jared Goff. We got Deshaun Watson down there and the Texans, who's the latest and greatest, if you listen to everybody. And I'm impressed with what I see. You know, so these young quarterbacks are kind of the trendy thing right now. Maybe, you know, a third year Brett Hundley may end up being good. You don't know.
I was going to say, should we change the conversation to Kevin Hogan?
With the
Cleveland Browns?
that's a disaster. That team's just a disaster.
Oh, man,
and you know
what?
Kaiser's getting a little bit of injustice based on the fact that he happens to be playing for the Cleveland Browns, in my book. You know? You imagine that, being a rookie, having to go in there and start on that direct of a team.
There's no way that Deshaun Kaiser should have started a game for any team in the NFL this season. That's just,
well,
I mean, they should have pulled a Jared Goff or a Pat Mahomes like Kansas City is doing. That is what they should have done with Deshaun Kaiser, period, flat out. I mean, it just, I don't know.
Some guys are good right off the bat, others aren't. You know, you never really know till you see him play. I mean, Mitch Trubisky has had 2 games now, and you know, he didn't really light up either game, but he won the second game. And according to John Fox is gushing over him. I mean, his stat line didn't look super impressive, but he got the job done.
John Fox has got to gush about something.
Does he ever give you the appearance of a guy who just doesn't care? They talk about his job. He doesn't look like he has a care in the world. He really don't. I think he's ready to just do whatever comes along. He'll coach if they keep him, and if they don't, he'll go on to the next whatever in his life. He just looks very content, very, you know, happy doing what he does. Doesn't seem concerned that, you know, they talk about him being on a hot seat. You know, his team ain't the greatest. I mean, they had a bit of a fire sale last year or so. Got rid of all their high-priced guys. Now they're dealing with, you know, the ramifications of that. You know, they're still, I'm sure Cutler still counts as a big chunk of their cap, at least this year, probably next year. You know, and they're just doing the best they can with what they got.
Well, didn't he have a heart issue back when he was with the Broncos?
Oh yeah, and he's lost a ton of weight.
That might be.
Yeah,
part
he might
of it,
just
you know,
be, you know, hey, I'm mellow now. I'm not getting upset. I'm just doing my job, and
exactly,
you know, doesn't seem concerned. The guy's been an NFL head coach now for the Carolina Panthers, the Broncos, has a Super Bowl win, you know, there. I think he had Carolina in the Super Bowl and lost to the Patriots, you know, and, you know, he's now coaching in Chicago. The guy's made a ton of money. Probably, you know, if they send him packing today, I don't think he's going to be hurting. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, really.
You know, he may even, honestly, taking two teams to the Super Bowl and winning with one, he may get Hall of Fame consideration. I don't know if he's worthy or not, but, you know, the guy's record, he doesn't have a losing record, I'm sure, as a head coach. And he's, you know, he, like I said, he does have, you know, that one ring with the Broncos, and whether or not, you know, you put that all on Peyton's back or not, whatever, but he was still the head coach. So, you know, he looks to me a guy who's just, you know what, I've done a lot. I'm good. Whatever you want to talk about my job, I don't care. You know, that's just the impression I get. And
yeah,
more power to him. You know what? I think he's doing okay with what he has. That team, he doesn't have I don't think he has a roster stacked with talent. That's for sure. He has a lot of young guys, and maybe some of them are showing promise. But, you know, I think he's doing good with what he got. He's not – let's put it this way. You got to think the Bears are at least equivalent to where the Browns are in the rebuilding mode, and they look a damn sight better than the Browns do. The Browns still look like a total mess. And
that
the Browns have had how many high number one picks? And nothing to show for it. So at least I think
absolutely
the Bears are improving.
For Brett Hundley, if there's I suppose if there's a silver lining to anything for this weekend, it would be the fact that he'll be playing in the friendly confines of Lambeau. Green Bay will be hosting the New Orleans Saints. New Orleans Saints right now are a 5.5-point favorite on the road. Now, that might actually help Hundley as well, because that would mean there's no expectation. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when it comes right down to it, everything might work in his favor.
One thing he doesn't have in his favor is that team does not have a good running game.
No.
I'm sorry. Ty Montgomery, you know, he may want to be an NFL running back. He's built more like a tight end, in my opinion. He's been drafted as a receiver, you know, looks like more of a tight end, and he's playing running back. They don't really have much at that position, and they don't really get much of a running game going. And that I think, is going to hurt him, because, you know, they live and die on Aaron Rodgers, you know, for the most part, which means for them to be successful, they're going to have to do the same with Hundley, and Hundley's going to have to win the game, you know, with his arm. And I don't know if he has any kind of running ability like Rodgers does, but he may have to find out in a big hurry.
Well, he may need it. Yeah. Because I mean, when you take a look, if you recall back to that Green Bay game from the other day, that offensive line did not do Hundley any favors.
That offensive line does not do anybody any favors, in my opinion.
Exactly right.
That's been
Hundley
a holdback.
Yeah, Hundley was hit 13 times and sacked 4.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those sacks were brutal.
Well, how many times have we seen Aaron Rodgers running for his life behind that line the last couple of years? That line is not a good line. And that probably is part of why they have not been able to build a decent running game. Maybe it's not a Ty Montgomery issue or something. Maybe it's just the fact we've seen teams that struggle building an offensive line that can't run the football. We've seen that before. That's not nothing new. You know, that's Dallas has been, you know, known for having a great offensive line, and that's why they have all these running backs that can, you know, one right after the other, they've had pretty good success with. Well, it works in reverse. If you have a bad line, you're not going to do anything either. And maybe that's just what we're seeing. I don't know. I'm not going to lay it all at Ty Montgomery's feet, because you can't knock the guy's effort. He's trying. You can tell he wants to be a running back in the NFL, and he's really trying to do his best job that he can. It just, you know, he's dealing with what he got, I guess. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let's do this. Let's get our buddy Lou from New Jersey in with us, so we can get his thoughts on
Oh,
the
let's
New
hear
York
about the
Jets.
New York Jets. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, really. Lou, how are we doing? I was going to say.
How'd you like that? How'd you like that call?
I hate it.
Bring us the perspective of what the sports talk is in New York and Northern Jersey.
Right now, speaking as a fan of that, I am disgusted at the call that was made. Just think about it. How could you do that? Not until after he was out of bounds. What were you thinking? You call yourself professional referees? You people are stupid. It was a perfectly legitimate touchdown.
Yeah, I'm a Patriots fan, and I was just as befuddled as everybody else. You know, I had to wait for them to explain why it was considered a fumble. And even then, yeah, you can see that he juggled the ball, but the ball never hit the ground. I think Dean Blandino and what's the other guy? The other guy who used to be the head of referees before him both came out and said it was a wrong call. Mike Pereira, yeah. I think Pereira and Blandino both have said that that call should not have been overturned. While it may have been correct, it shouldn't have. There wasn't enough there
evidence
to overrule the field call. Yeah, so I don't know. I honestly don't know if that came from the ref on the field or if that came from New York. You know, because New York's in on every review. Is that where it came? All right. Even as a Patriots fan, I really question that call. It just didn't seem. And still, even now, it doesn't make sense to me. So, you know, yeah, maybe the Jets got hosed on that play. But even if they had that touchdown, that only would have made it a tie game. Who knows how it really would have played out.
But it's still got a chance to, you know, win it.
Yeah. No, you're right.
That game, let's get it straight, was winnable for the Jets.
Yes.
It really was.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I mean, I'm not going to say it wasn't. I mean, the Patriots defense can't stop anybody. So
exactly.
You could put grandma in a wheelchair out there with a walker, and she's still going to get yards on them. They're horrible right now. They need to find a way to, you know, make that better, which I think they're better. I think they ain't as bad as they were at the beginning of the season, but they still have a long way to go.
Yeah, but you got to think about it, because no one gave them credit to do anything this year. They were saying not even a game this year.
Well, if you recall, at the beginning of the year, they were talking about two teams tanking the year, and that was Buffalo and New York, and they're both far from tanking at the very least. You know, they're at least respectable.
And as far as that call goes, I mean, I have not had a chance. I guess I should have done it yesterday. I didn't have a chance to actually listen to. I should have listened to some New York talk radio to see what the ire was like. I did read a little bit this morning that the talk radio stations were abuzz with all of the talk. Certainly a lot of conspiracy theory going down in speculation. As one might suspect any time that, you know, you get a call like that and the New England Patriots are involved. But I don't know. It was a head-scratcher, that's for sure. But, again, Lou, your team actually played well, I thought.
Yes, they did. But they just couldn't get away with the win.
What else do you got on your mind?
Well, let's see. Yankees are fighting, of course, now for their playoff lives. Almost.
Yeah, I've got the game on behind me. I don't know what this – I haven't looked at the – what is the score
4-2.
At this point?
4-2.
4-2
at last check.
Okay. So –
who's winning? Who's winning right now?
But not in our favor.
Oh, okay. Astros are winning it?
Astros are winning it, yes.
All right, well, you need the Yankees tonight to win that, to tie the series up. Because
right.
You got, what do you got? You got game five tomorrow. You got game five tomorrow night, so.
Yes.
So, all right. Well, who do your Jets play this week? I'm just looking here real quick.
I think we play the Fish.
You do. You've got you are in Miami. The Jets are in Miami. Miami is just a mere standard 3-point home favorite.
Just three. Wow.
Just three. That's all.
Hmm.
Well,
lack of confidence?
Jay Cutler. That's what that says. Jay Cutler.
Of course.
I think the Dolphins are actually a worse team than the Jets are right now.
So do I.
Think,
you got Jay Cutler. That's all you got to say. That's all you got to say.
Case.
Honest to God, seriously. No, I don't know. So, you know, let's wait and see whether Josh McCown can put one on Miami, huh?
Hmm. Well, Josh McCown's a solid NFL quarterback. He's always been okay. He's just, you know, that's what he is. He's kind of a placeholder. He's not going to.
What were they saying the other day, that he's actually been offered a quarterback coaching job?
Yeah, he was offered a coaching job before he decided to play one more year.
Yeah.
He's apparently got it. He's probably going to be a very good coach. He's got a. I think from what I'm reading, the guy has a good football mind. It's just, you know, maybe his mind's better than his, you know, skills and body, you know, kind of thing. I mean, Doug Peterson never struck me as a great quarterback yet. He managed to find a head coaching job in the NFL. You know?
Yeah, really.
I mean,
well, that was a little help from his buddy.
Yeah, but still, I mean, yeah. He was the offensive coordinator, though, in Kansas City, and they did well. And I still don't think he knows what he's doing. He seems very clueless, you know, on the sidelines.
Oh, I almost forgot. Opening night in the NBA.
Yeah, it is tonight. That's correct.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, this is football, right, man. We only talk football tonight.
Yeah,
Thursday we'll talk.
We'll get into a little NBA on Thursday night for sure. I would imagine.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm just looking at the stats though from that Jets game and just chatting Josh McCown. 31 of 47 he was, 354 yards against the New England Patriots. Now that's the New England Patriots without a defense. Two touchdowns, two interceptions, 84.9 passer rating. I guess he had to put the ball in the air though, Lou, right? Because you were missing Bilal Powell, right?
Right.
Yeah. So there was no ground game to speak of, per se. So, but all right. Well, we appreciate you giving us a holler, Lou. Catch up with us on Thursday night. We'll be talking a little NBA.
7 o'clock, right?
You got it.
Yep.
You got it. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Lou. If anybody else wants to jump in with us, 347-826-9964 is how you can get a hold of us. And as Lou just did there, whether we've got your game on the agenda or not, we'd be more than happy to chat about it. 347-826-9964. Otherwise, you can leave me a message in over on Twitter, at Frat House Mike. At Frat House Mike is how you can get me. New Orleans Saints, 52-38, Brandon, over the Detroit Lions.
Talk about no defense. Neither team had a defense in that game.
Yeah.
Not very many
there?
Defensive plays made there when you have almost 100 points.
90 points put on the board. Matt Stafford put the ball in the air 52 times. 25 of 52. Ouch. Yuck. 312 yards. Three touchdowns, three interceptions, 62.3 passer rating. Amir Abdullah only 54 yards on the ground. Here we go again. I don't understand. I don't understand these teams that have fairly good running backs that aren't using them. I don't get it. Of course, Detroit was behind the entire game.
They were playing a lot from behind. And they almost came back. They came back within a touchdown.
Yep.
And if it wouldn't have been for a fluky interception, I mean, it was a pass deflected by a lineman, knocked it up in the air and caught it himself in the end zone to blow it back open the other way. They had the ball only down by a touchdown, you know, and then, you know, they had a fluky interception. So,
yep.
You know, it is kind of, if you're a Lions fan, I'm sure Chris, our buddy Chris, is going to be a little sad about that. you know, the fact that they were so far behind and came all the way back only to have a kind of a fluky type interception cost them the game in the long run.
You know, it's funny. Chris, in my opinion, Chris is far too young to be as jaded as I am about his own team. Okay. That's just my personal opinion.
The Lions have had a few tough seasons. Let's put it that way.
The Lions have been the thing that I find amazing about Chris is that every week he generally has a Facebook post up. You know, will say something to the effect of not happy with the way the Giants or the Lions played, but you know, it's still better than what I expected. I don't know. See, that's something I would say about the Eagles, you know?
And you still are when they're the best team in the NFC right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Yeah, right. I had read that Golden Tate might be sitting this week, which could be a bit of a hit to the Detroit Lions. Or it might actually turn out to be something that gets Eric Ebron back into the game. I don't know. But the New Orleans Saints, Drew Brees, 21 of 31, 186 yards, two touchdowns and two interceptions. Holy smokes, they actually had a ground game going. Mark Ingram had more yards than Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara, 75 yards on the ground. Mark Ingram, 114 yards on the ground and two touchdowns. Now, there's something you don't see from the New Orleans Saints very often is a ground game. That you don't see. We talked a little bit about this Detroit Lions team. What do you think? Are we seeing – I mean, was that just a blip at the beginning of the season where everybody kind of got into a ladder about the Detroit Lions? And look, we were one of them.
We all got in a ladder of it.
Yeah.
I was convinced. I was sold, man. I thought they looked good. I don't know what to make of it, to be honest with you. You know, I think Matt Stafford is a solid NFL quarterback. You know, obviously had to get paid and the team paid him and made him the highest paid player. Looks like he started the season going out trying to, you know, earn the contract. And I don't know. I can't put my finger on why they struggle at times. And I wish I could, because, you know, I in the beginning of the year, I was sold, man. And they've done nothing to keep me sold. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's the kind of thing that just, I don't know. I don't know what to think of it.
And, you know, I've actually said the exact same thing numerous times on our Thursday night programs. When, for instance, the Detroit Lions are in our picks, say, for the week, and I'm doing the breakdown, one of the things that just doesn't get me about this team is that on paper, the Detroit Lions look like they should be a dominant team. Minimally in their own division when you've got Matt Stafford at the top and then your ground game consists of Amir Abdullah, Theo Riddick, and Zach Zenner. All right. And then you've got Matt Stafford being able to throw to Marvin Jones, Golden Tate, Eric Ebron, Darren Fells. I mean, that to me looks like a seriously contending team, and I don't get it.
I don't either. I think that's what all the Detroit Lion fans out there are saying too. We don't get it. Hopefully they can come up with a solution. Get some consistency. Because that's what it seems they're lacking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this past week may have been a bit of an aberration. You know, obviously Matt Stafford struggled through a lot of interceptions. I don't know, you know, maybe that was just a game of mistakes and they just get compounding and, you know, the Saints were very opportunistic at the right time to capitalize on them. So, you know, but I mean, they've had a lot of other close games. You know, the one that ended before, you know, the with a 10-second runoff when it looked like they just scored the game-winning touchdown. You know, that's got to be a little disheartening, you know, to lose like those games. I mean, this past week, you know, you're going to have one of them every once in a while, I guess, in the NFL. But, you know, I don't think they can – they don't have a two – let's put it this way. Their margin of error is not what it was. You know, they need to, you know, come up with some answers.
Yeah, I might agree, particularly if, in fact, the Vikings can find a way to cobble together wins as they've been doing. I mean, to me, the Vikings are kind of an amazing sort of story. I mean, you know, you lose Bridgewater a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
They got Sam Bradford, of all people, who they go and they throw in week one, who walks over from the other team, from the Philadelphia Eagles, less than a week before, walks onto the team and starts for the Minnesota Vikings. That was the guy they were pinning their hopes on for this year. He's out. They're cobbling together wins with Case Keenum. To me, I think the Vikings are actually really an amazing story.
Yeah, they are. You know, we'll just have to see, you know, the door's open for them now. I mean, with Aaron Rodgers being hurt.
I mean, in many respects, they're kind of sitting in almost a similar position to, like, the Philadelphia Eagles. They could dominate that division simply because of the fact that, hey, Aaron Rodgers is out. The Philadelphia Eagles could dominate potentially if they wanted to, if they could put it together, they could dominate the NFC simply because of the fact Aaron Rodgers isn't there. So it's a kind of a similar situation the Minnesota Vikings find themselves in inside their own division. They could be division winners and in the playoffs simply because of the absence of Aaron Rodgers and without perhaps maybe their number one or number two quarterback.
Yeah, that's a good point. But they could get one or both back. You know, there's nothing to say that, you know, Bradford can't come back. And now they're saying, you know, Bridgewater's practicing. So you never know. If Keenum
right.
can hold them together for a couple more weeks here and they get a chance to get their, you know, one of the other two back and they're effective, you know, they might
now,
be okay.
Was it you that was telling me that the reports were that apparently, or did I read that one on my own? That the reports on Bradford are that the knee is actually worse than what has been reported up to this point.
Yeah, I saw. Yeah, I had read the same thing that they're saying it doesn't look that good for him. You know that he's really got to give it a chance to heal before he attempts to get back on the field. Bridgewater, on the other hand, you know he's medically cleared and he has they have 3 weeks to decide if they put him on the roster or not now. So you know. You know, we started out the year with like very little, if any, update on Teddy Bridgewater. Now he's essentially a game away from being back, or a couple
you
weeks
know,
anyway.
I mean, yeah, I was going to say, I mean, do you think that they would take the chance of putting him in only on, say, a week's worth of?
No, I think they give him the full 3 weeks that they can look at him on, and they'll go from there.
Yeah,
that's just my opinion. I don't think they're going to put him in. They're not going to rush him. There's no reason to.
I think the way that I remember that injury, that was a
was
very
horrible.
Very serious injury. I mean, there was chit chat that Bridgewater might be lucky to walk again. Let alone play. So, oof.
Not something to mess with.
So, it would appear then that the Vikings are probably going to have to find a way to do this potentially. You know, maybe not for the whole time, but they might have to with Case Keenum. All right.
Well, at least for a little while anyway. I think you'll see one or the other back. I would imagine you'll I didn't get the impression that Bradford was done for the year, but that he probably had to take a good four weeks and let it get healed. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So.
All right. let's go over and take a look at the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Kansas City Chiefs. Steelers won this game on the road in Arrowhead.
I thought it was a lock that the Chiefs won that game too.
Yeah, I mean, difficult place to win a game. That's probably only them in Seattle, right? The two places that nobody really wants to go to. But the Steelers did it, 19-13. Ben Roethlisberger, 17-25, 252 yards, a touchdown and an interception, 97.4 passer rating. Alex Smith, 19-34, 246 yards, comparable numbers to Roethlisberger, a touchdown and no interceptions. Hang on a second here.
We gotta break in here. The U.S. District Court has granted an injunction for Zeke Elliott and will be able to play this week. Breaking news just came out, literally as we're talking. So Zeke Elliott's suspension is back on hold for the foreseeable future.
Oh boy!
At least for this week. Anyway,
now,
okay, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah.
That was big news.
Big news for the NFL. Interestingly, you know, I'm just looking at the lines. I would assume that the line that I'm looking at here took into account that Zeke Elliott was not playing. Dallas
maybe
favored at home against San Francisco by 6 points. That being without Zeke Elliott would be my suspicion. Because this line is from this afternoon, so I wonder what that.
Wow.
I wonder if the line goes up on that one.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm playing that game one way or another. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I think that's one I stay away from too.
Yeah,
they haven't looked good with him all year, so you know.
That's a good point.
I think there's been a bit of a distraction factor. All year,
that
no matter
my,
what.
That was my question, though, to you earlier, was in light of the fact it has been a distraction, wouldn't you think it might – look, it'd just be better.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Maybe.
Go get
– it might be.
Get it over with. Get it over with. You know?
Might be. You're right. I'm,
rather than
I don't
bring
know.
It along. So.
Anyway.
Anyhow,
let's go back to Pittsburgh and Kansas City.
Yeah, Pittsburgh,
sorry about
Steelers.
That. I just had to bring that in.
This performance by Le'Veon Bell, just insane.
Well, what about Brown?
179 yards.
Brown.
I'm going to get to that one. 179 yards on the ground for Le'Veon Bell on 32 carries and a touchdown. Yes. And then Antonio Brown, 8 receptions, 155 yards through the air, and had a touchdown himself. I mean, those two, it's a two-man wrecking crew. When you can get those two on the page at the exact same time, like that, the score should have been higher, Brandon. You got
yes.
a running back getting 179 yards, 179
yep.
yards against the Kansas City defense. That's really impressive, honest to God.
In Kansas City, too.
Yep. Kareem Hunt, now, on the other hand, and I've just been, you know, praising him upside down all season long. As far as the rushing numbers, his numbers were off as far as running numbers. He only had 21 yards on the ground. But they managed to get 89 yards to him through the air, so he was out there receiving. And the only touchdown that Alex Smith had went to DeAnthony Thomas. This was a pretty impressive performance for the most part, by the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I would agree. You would think by the stats they'd have won by more.
Yep.
You're right.
Yep.
So I don't know what to make of that. I'm not sold on Roethlisberger. I think he's still in his own head a little bit for whatever reason. you know, thinking he's, you know, maybe on the edge of retiring, whatever, because we've heard that speculation before. And we've heard some players comment that if you're talking about it, you might as well be it. You know what I mean? That once it enters your brain, it's hard to go back. You know what I mean? So I just, you know, it's hard to say. I'm not sure, you know, where Roethlisberger is right now. Him making them comments, if you're a Pittsburgh fan, saying, oh, I don't know, I may not have it anymore. That's not what you want to hear your starting quarterback say. You really don't.
Not in week five. Not in week five, you don't.
Not ever. Not ever. You don't ever.
Well, listen, it's one thing if it's week, 15 and, you got a losing record. Then
yeah,
you kinda,
maybe.
You can discount it a little bit as, hey, the guy's just talking, you know, because, you know, he's had it with the season. But, you know, week five and you're being talked about, your Pittsburgh Steelers team has been being talked about all season long as one of the best teams in the AFC. No, you're right. That's not what Pittsburgh Steelers fans want to hear. Now, have you we touched on it a little bit at the beginning of the show, but are you bought in now? Are you back bought in with this Pittsburgh Steelers team?
Oh, no. No. I think the wheels are still coming off. I'll be honest with you. I think this team's done. I think they may get lucky in the sense that the rest of their division is bad, and they may be able to cobble enough wins together to get, you know, to win the division. They're one and done in the playoffs. I just don't think this team has, you know, they have, you know, solid running back and wide receiver, but Ben Roethlisberger doesn't look right. And I don't like what I hear. And you hear things out of the locker room. You got some players pointing fingers at the coaches. You got, you know, players aren't all on the same page, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
What you hear.
Worst part is when you get the coaches pointing the fingers back at the players, which is what happened last week.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, that's not what you want to hear.
Yeah. You talk about not wanting to hear, you know, things like what Roethlisberger said from your quarterback. I'll tell you what I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear my coach standing up and blaming the players. You know, if you remember,
most
Chip
coaches
Kelly did
take
that.
The brain.
Exactly.
Blame.
Chip Kelly did that a couple of times in Philadelphia. And I got to tell you, when I used to hear that, that used to just rankle me so darn badly. You know, to have a coach stand up there, you know, you're not out there on the field playing, dude. You're supposed to be the brains behind this organization, and you're blaming them. To me, that is weak. That is very, very weak when you get a coach or a coaching staff pointing fingers at the players. I really don't like it. But, I might agree with you. In years past, and the Steelers, I know for a fact are not on the Eagles' radar for this season. But if they were, I got to be honest with you, there have been seasons where we had to play, the Eagles would have to play the Steelers. And, you know, that would be, we did last year, we beat them. And that was a game nobody thought that the Eagles would win. And when you go in against the Steelers, when the Philadelphia Eagles go in and play against the Steelers, that's a game where everybody's sitting on the edge of their seat. You kind of halfway don't think that the Eagles are going to win it. If the Steelers were on the schedule for this season, as you just say, Brandon, there's something about the Steelers. They don't scare me.
Nope.
They don't scare me. You can throw Le'Veon Bell in there with his 179 yards all you want. Or Antonio Brown. I don't know. There's just something about this team. They don't scare me.
I agree.
So
they don't have that edge. They don't have that edge that you expect them, the Steelers, to have. You know, they don't seem together. They seem like a divided team. They may even be divided in more ways than other teams. You may have offense, defense, and coaches all on different pages where you don't see any bonding together, any unity, anything out of this team.
And for the Kansas City Chiefs, I think despite this loss, I think you still have to kind of look at the Chiefs right now as the cream of the AFC, right?
Yes. Yeah, you can't hold one loss against a team like the Chiefs and, you know, some of the teams they've beaten already. You know, they're a solid team. And, you know, the whole AFC West as a whole had a bad week last week. You know, the Chargers, you know, I guess didn't because they beat the Raiders. But the three teams that everybody, you know, was looking at in the West all lost. The Raiders, Broncos, and Chiefs all went down. You know, so, you know, as a whole, I think you can collectively say the AFC West had a bad week. You know, because the Chargers ain't going, that win means nothing for the San Diego Chargers. You know, ultimately, when it comes right down to it, it's what, the first one? You know, they're not going to win nothing. If anything, you know, it's a shame that the Raiders lost that game, really. You know, they
didn't lose it by much. They only lost by one point.
Well, and it was a missed extra point. That's the worst part of it. You know, on a very bad high snap, and, you know, what are you going to do? You know, that's the breaks you get, I guess, you know.
The Pittsburgh Steelers this week are hosting the Cincinnati Bengals. Steelers right now are a 5.5-point favorite to win that game. That's a 1 o'clock game on Sunday. Kansas City Chiefs are going to Oakland on Thursday night, Brandon. This is one of the games that I had submitted as a possible pick of the week for this week. So we might very well be talking about that game on Thursday night. But the Kansas City Chiefs are favored right now by 3 points on the road against Oakland. So
that's going to be another good one.
That's another good Thursday night game. How about that, huh?
It's almost like they seeded the schedule with, you know, division rivalries, and they've worked out to be pretty good so far this year.
Yeah, we had a good one last Thursday. We got a good one this week, potentially.
Even the one the week before with the Patriots was close, came right down to it. I mean,
and that
closer than it should have been, but...
We had a Jacksonville game, I remember, a couple of weeks ago that was pretty darn good as well. So Thursday night football suddenly has gotten a little more enticing.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I could still do without it. It'd be okay with me if they got rid of Thursday night football. But
I think you'd start to complain. You like having your football.
I do, but at least they're improving the product for sure.
Well, I still don't like the way you never know where the game's going to be, which broadcast is doing it, how to stream it. I mean, it's every week. It's a jigsaw puzzle to answer some of the questions. You know, sometimes it's the NBC crew, sometimes it's the CBS crew, sometimes it's only on NFL Network, sometimes it's on Amazon Prime, sometimes it's here, sometimes it's there. It's like, come on, figure out where the, you know, that's, I think, part of Thursday night's issues with ratings. They need to get some more consistency, because let's face it, the casual fan, you know, unless their team's in it, they're not going to go hunting the game. You have to really be into it and want to watch the football game to go find it. You know, obviously we're going to watch it no matter what, where it is or what it's on, but, you know, the casual fan's not going to go hunting, you know, three different channels on TV or how many different streaming networks. They're not going to do that. So, you know, they need to fix the Thursday night thing and get some consistency. I mean, you know where to go on Sunday and Monday to watch football. You know, you got your Fox and CBS all day. You got NBC at night, and you got ESPN on Monday. You know where the games are. You may not know who's playing, but you know where they are and where to go to get them. And I think that's part of the issue on Thursday night. They need to come to a better solution with that.
Agreed.
But the product is better. You're right.
It's better this season.
Good product.
Last but not least, real quick, we'll take a look at the New York Giants against the Denver Broncos. Giants won this one 23-10. I'm looking at this box score, Brandon, and it is, you know, now we saw the game, but it just a bizarre box score. Eli Manning was 11 of 19 for 128 yards. And a touchdown, one touchdown, 95.9 quarterback rating, passer rating. those do not look like the numbers of the winning quarterback. That's for darn sure.
No, they didn't.
Trevor Siemian, 29 of 50. 50 for a touchdown, two interceptions, 71.8. Go ahead.
The Broncos have no excuse for that. They have C.J. Anderson and Jamal Charles,
yep,
both playing pretty good and both being effective, and you have no business for Siemian to be putting the ball up 50 times. That's a shame with the running backs they have on that roster. That's actually – that's an injustice they're doing by calling a game like that with that many pass
now,
plays.
The crazy part about this particular game in some respects was the fact that we – you know, it's well documented how many players the New York Giants were down. And yet,
yeah,
talk about – you know, we've used the word now a couple of times on this broadcast. Talk about cobbling –
Well, they have no wide receivers. They're all hurt.
Exactly. Talk about cobbling a win together. Orleans Darkwa had 117 yards on the ground. Evan Engram had a touchdown and 82 yards through the air. Roger Lewis, Tavares King. I mean, you know, you got all these names that are coming into play, that, people you've never even heard of before.
Yeah. Well, they lost Brandon Marshall and Odell Beckham for the year to injury, and Sterling Shepard, the other starting receiver, is hurt. He's not going for the year, but he's out. He was out at least for this game, and I don't know. I'm not sure what his status is moving forward. I should know better because he's on my fantasy roster, but at least on the bench at the very least, because he isn't playing right now. But they need to do something at that position. You know, even if they get Sterling Shepard back, that's not going to answer the team's problems.
No,
that team has
no
systemic problems. They should have never brought Brandon Marshall on that team. He didn't fit their scheme. He's not a good complement to Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham needs a fast, quick receiver on the other side to help open his up. Brandon Marshall's a big guy. Good, you know, inside the, you know, in the red zone for the, you know, going up for the jump balls, but he's not going to compliment, you know, even when Odell was healthy, he's not a good compliment for Odell Beckham. You know, the key was when they had a healthy Victor Cruz and Odell Beckham on the field at the same time, then they had something. You know, obviously Cruz got hurt and that kind of messed that plan up going forward, but you know, That was one of those signings that kind of like the Adrian Peterson going to the Saints. It didn't really make much sense. Matter of fact, I think you and I had speculated on a show that at the time that would have been a good trade. You know, Peterson for Marshall would have helped both teams out in the long run. But, you know, things obviously happened a little different. And I think so far Adrian Peterson's happy.
I remember Marshall. I just remember Marshall over in Chicago. And he was a locker room distraction. He was a bit of a locker room distraction with the Jets as well.
Yep.
So,
yeah, he's a head case.
You know, yeah, I mean, you know, Brandon Marshall, you know, you talk about him not being a fit for the Giants. He may not be a fit for just about anybody. I don't know. But
well, I think the right team could use him if they can keep him under control. The problem is you probably got a bigger head case than Beckham. So you put the two together, and now you just got a disaster.
Oh, now you got a disaster, is right.
Right. So, that was just a bad mix, and we really aren't going to get to see the sideshow because they're all hurt now. So we'll just have to see where it goes from here.
All right, that wraps it up for us for this evening. There's 90 minutes in the books. Boy, that went by very, very quickly.
Yeah,
But make no mistake, we will be back talking some football on Thursday night on our flagship program, the Frat House Sports Show, coming your way live at 7 p.m. Eastern time. But myself and Brandon and Matt and Chris Davis from FT Sports Podcast all jumping in. We'll be making our picks for the week. We'll be talking NFL football. We'll be talking probably a little bit of NBA. And I definitely know we'll be talking some NHL as well. So you want to be here on Thursday night at 7 p.m. All right, there you go. Quick update here, New York Yankees 6-4 right now over the Houston Astros. So, hey, listen, get out there, enjoy your sports, and if it happens to be Major League Baseball playoffs, well, go enjoy that. Catch you on Thursday night.
Lose happy right now.
That's exactly right. Catch you Thursday.